On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it was a huge week in Gamecock athletics as there were a pair of major announcements out of the football program, and the men's basketball team shines against Kentucky. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 122 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope y'all are gearing up for a nice weekend. Buck up, cheer up. It's the weekend. You made it through yet another week. And my goodness, was it ever a week in Gamecock country? There was so much going on. It was a very exciting time to be a Gamecock. I mean, you know, it's always a great time to be a Gamecock. It's always eventful. If nothing else, being a South Carolina fan is eventful. There's always something going on. It's always an up and down ride, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I just would not. So have a big episode for y'all here because of that, starting with this week in review. So some news from outside of games that were being played, right? And the major news, really the only big piece of news, came from the football program as the college football gods have heard our prayers and answered with two bombshell announcements coming with Juice Wells and Spencer Rattler announcing that they will be coming back next season. Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. That was the most anticipated announcement we've had in quite some time. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I was refreshing my feeds, looking at their Instagram, pulling up Twitter just constantly. And it's funny because, you know, they didn't necessarily even have to say anything. You could just come back to school, you know? It was just that there were eyeballs on them, especially with Spencer and his NFL aspirations for however many years now. But this is huge. This is beyond huge. This is critical. And it's critical for a few reasons. When you look at the positions that these guys play, they're incredibly important if you want to succeed at a high level. So in general, right, if you're a team and you have to replace your top wide receiver, that's a challenge in and of itself. We've seen that at Carolina. Guy like Bryan Edwards goes to the NFL. Guy like Shai Smith goes to the NFL. It's always this question of who is going to step up. Sometimes guys do. Sometimes it doesn't work out in college football, and a team struggles offensively because of it. So now you have that piece back. Then you have your quarterback, who at any level of football is the most important player on the team. And if you're trying to replace a talent like Spencer Rattler, that's very difficult to do. Now, that's not to say that I didn't have faith in the guys on the roster, Luke Doty, Tanner Bailey, and so on. I do. But the talent and the ability that Spencer brings is really second to none. And he's going to have an opportunity to be one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC. But then really on top of it all, the chemistry that these two guys had throughout last season, especially later in the year, was unparalleled. And Juice is able to make moves, and he's able to go up there and get the ball, and Spencer is able to place it for him just right. So you're going to have that amazing chemistry right off the bat next year. And anytime you have that on a football team, it's special, and it can be hard to stop. And then you couple that with some of these guys also knowing Spencer, Xavier Legette, Dak Joyner, Marion Brown, right? So you already have that chemistry. So Juice and Spencer are going to be able to and are going to have to hold a lot of the burden of this offense. But I think they're not only able to, I think they're going to, but they have that experience together to do so. It's not like you're saying, all right, we got a new quarterback, albeit, you know, seasoned a little bit, and we got a new receiving core. We're going to need to find who our playmakers are. Like, no, we have that answer. Juice is our top playmaker on offense. Spencer is an incredible, dynamic, electrifying quarterback who we've seen what he can do when given the time and space and the type of scheme that he's comfortable in. So it's just huge. And again, it's not a knock on anyone else on the roster, but it just makes it that much more electric, and it makes the team that much more potent. And honestly, it gives huge, huge hope and optimism going into next year. I still expect this staff to fill out some of the roster via the transfer portal and only make this offense deeper. It's just so exciting to see. So what production exactly is returning here? Juice this last season had 68 receptions for 928 yards and 6 touchdowns. More importantly, you know, it's bringing that, like I said, that true wide receiver one spot, but also that year of SEC experience under his belt. I think it's easy to forget that last year was his first year in the SEC. So now he has that experience. He's going to be the second year with Justin Stepp. And while those numbers are really great, I mean, 68 is his second best year, I believe, in receptions. It's very reasonable to think that a lot of these numbers could go up. You know, what if he is at or near 1,000 yards, 8-9 touchdowns? Very, very exciting. And then Spencer, last year, he passed for 3,026 yards at a 66% completion percentage. There we go. 18 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. But he's also, you know, bringing that leadership and that veteran presence back to the team. Remember when people were trying to say that BS, that he's not a leader and that people don't like him? That's complete BS. I saw this team respect him. I saw the guys on the offense respect him and trust him and follow him. Now, of course, with some of these numbers, you'd like him to, you know, improve a little bit. 12 interceptions is a lot by his standard, especially. Imagine if that goes down to 9, right? Single digits, 20 touchdowns, 66% is a very nice completion percentage. He's been north of 70 before in his career. So very exciting to see. And, you know, Dowell Loggins spoke specifically to Spencer playing more free towards the end of the season, and you saw the good things that came with that. So you know he wants to continue it. And, you know, Spencer, he just brings that natural ability to make just beautiful throws. And you definitely want to lower those interceptions, like I said, but when he is on, I haven't seen many people do it better at the college level. I mean, he was masterful in that Tennessee game. I don't know if we win that game without Spencer Rattler. Like, that's what we're bringing back, right? I don't know if we win that game. The Clemson game, he made 2 bonehead mistakes, 2 terrible interceptions, and was able to overcome it. I don't know if we win that game without Spencer either. So it's just fantastic for the entire program. Because also, you know, Dowell Loggins, he knows who his playmakers are. They're already in the building, and he can formulate his playbook around them. But also, it continues to make South Carolina an attractive destination for any transfers who this staff is recruiting for the offense. You know, I would like to see this team go after another wide receiver, even if it's more for a depth standpoint. And also, I would like to see the team go after a running back, even if it is, again, more of a depth goal line type of deal. But I do think we need a couple more bodies in those rooms. But who wouldn't want to come to South Carolina right now? I mean, the opportunity is there, especially on the offense. And clearly, the NIL opportunity is there because Juice and Spencer just turned down an opportunity to give it a crack at the NFL. So while there's still work to be done in that department, don't get me wrong, clearly whatever we have in place right now is adequate enough for a high-profile guy like Spencer Rattler to stay. So if you're a transfer, transfer to the sea, transfer to the city of dreams, let's go. But it's also, it's funny too, I was thinking about this where it's nice because it's been so long since Carolina fans have been able to have a starting quarterback who played the whole season, let alone at a high level, but then comes back as QB1 the following year. Last time was Jake Bentley, right? Far as I can remember. So, like, how nice is this? Like, we already know our quarterback going into the spring, and you know what he can bring, and if he improves, it's only better. It's incredible. So it's insane. I'm already diving deep into our depth chart, our schedule. I'm just so excited for the year. Let's just wake me up when it's September. Like, wake me up when the rest of the year is go. Like, it's football season. Let's go. Spot the dang ball. Absolutely electric. Thank you to Juice and Spencer. But let's keep the good times rolling. Talking about men's basketball here. That's a sentence I did not think I would ever say this season, but the Gamecocks beat Kentucky 71-68 on the road to secure not only the first SEC win in the Lamont Paris era, but the third win all time at Kentucky in program history. I think since like the 90s I saw. And this win ended a 28-game home winning streak for Kentucky. So the Gamecocks just stay in the business of ending home winning streaks. And funny enough, Spencer Rattler's announcement was like at halftime of this game, more or less. It was just absolute pandemonium on social media Tuesday night. Just unreal. But this game was just what the doctor ordered for this team. I mean, granted, Kentucky is having a bit of a down year, especially from their standards. But they went into this game, Carolina did, about 20-point underdogs, depending on where you looked. The game was on the road. I don't care what anyone says. Kentucky teams are talented, and Cal is a hell of a coach. Now, I talked about before this game my crow to the game being not to let that loss against Tennessee affect this team's confidence and playmaking ability going into Kentucky. And this team showed exactly that. They came out confident, showed mental toughness to flush that game away. Lamont Paris even shook things up, started Josh Gray at the five, which I liked a lot. Gray brings some more size to the lineup and is someone that I feel the more playing time he gets, he can get into the flow of the game more. Now, I mean, despite only scoring 4 points, you know, his presence was definitely felt by the Kentucky players. He was playing big and physical down low. G.G. Jackson, he looked to have some of his swagger back. He was fired up, making big plays. But the huge story of the night was Michi Johnson, a.k.a. Steph Curry, a.k.a. Steph Curry Carolina, the Carolina Curry, as he had 6 3-pointers, some of which were just ridiculous range. Might as well have been sitting in the front row shooting some of these. I was holding my hands above my head like, what are you doing? And it would go in and I would sit right back down. That's why I don't play basketball. I mean, not only was he lifting the team up offensively, he had a couple of shots which just killed Kentucky drives, took the crowd out of the game, and it's that type of effort that you need to get some upset wins in the SEC. And then also, I just loved this team's ability to finish the game. Kentucky had a very strong second half, and more so a real strong, like, last, call it 5 minutes or so of the game. And they brought the game close. Jacoby Wright came up huge with a late steal and some clutch free throws. But, you know, there were moments in this game where in the past we've seen Carolina teams fold, where just things don't go their way. You know, the inbound pass goes out of bounds and then the team folds. They don't get the steal. This team did not fold. They got it done, even if it wasn't pretty at the end, right? So, you know, I'm not sure if we'll see any more, you know, huge upsets this season. But when you look at SEC play so far, this is a spin zone for you. While the Gamecocks have one win, a huge win, mind you, there's also that game against Vanderbilt, which they probably should have won. So to me, that says that although things have not gone well record-wise for this team in the SEC, and things have to, you know, they have to line up perfectly for this team to win this year. But when they do, this team can be competitive. And this team can be competitive against a chunk of the SEC. Went to overtime against Vandy. Should have had that game won in regulation, my opinion. But you just beat Kentucky, so hey, you can hang with the best of them. Most of them. Player highlights here. Michi Johnson, as I said, 26 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. GG Jackson got 16 points for himself. Up next, the guys are taking on Texas A&M at home Saturday night. How about that? A&M is off to a pretty good start this season, though, sitting at 11-5 overall, 3-0 in the conference, including a very convincing win against 20th-ranked Mizzou. They average 75 points per game compared to Carolina's 65. Defensively, it's somewhat comparable. A&M gives up 67 points per game, Carolina at just about 70. I mean, look, no other way to put it. A&M is a hot team right now. They're playing with confidence and they're well coached. It's at home, though, on a Saturday night. I would hope the crowd is pretty solid coming off a big win against Kentucky. So hopefully the fans are into it. But my crows to the game here are, first, just keep the good times rolling, right? Don't get too high on your horse from the last game, but bring that same edge and that same energy. And then my second crow is win the rebound battle. I mean, that was a huge piece in upsetting Kentucky, limiting their possessions, especially in the first half, building that lead. So if South Carolina can out-rebound A&M, and by a decent margin, got to take advantage of those opportunities, maybe you find yourselves in this one at home. You never know. Which brings me to women's basketball. Now, I feel bad. It's the second time already this year where, as I am recording, they are playing. They're also playing Kentucky. So I am sending good vibes to complete the Wildcat sweep for the Gamecocks this week. However, the women's next game is Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., at home against Missouri. Mizzou is 14-3 overall, 3-1 in the conference as it stands right now. Now, you'll remember last year when the ladies played at Mizzou, it was the first and only regular season loss they had. game went down to the wire. And also, you know, there's some history between these programs. So who knows? You know, this game might get a little spicy. Now, my crow to the game here is get some solid contributions off the bench. You know, I've talked about Dawn Staley, finding out more about this team and the different roles that everyone can play, but it's because the bench is talented. So I do expect this game to be hard fought. So let's get a player or two off the bench to contribute big time, right? Maybe it's Cardozo getting some points, but getting like six or more rebounds. Maybe Amy here can come up with a couple of steals and 8 points. So those are the contributions this team is easily capable of and what makes them so dangerous. So go Cox. And then before we wrap things up here, I have my 3-point play. Remember, this is a new segment, 3 picks from the basketball weekend. We're going Nebraska at Purdue, Purdue minus 15, Villanova plus 1 at Butler, and then Michigan State versus Illinois. I'm taking the under at 136.5. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.